The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Now, we're going to cover Nicola Duke here and Justin Waite, of course. I'm Nicola Duke. She's Justin Waite. You're right, Justin.
You're Justin Waite.
Oh, that was sorry.
How are you, Nicola?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. Yeah, my tattoo's coming on lovely. And we're going to look at this chart today. And we covered it recently, actually. It's called Immu Pharma. And I've said this over and over again. If you're an investor, not a trader, if you're an investor, you have to know fundamental and technical. It helps both, you know, it really does. You've got to know the story, and I think fundamental analysis is knowing what to get into, and technical analysis is knowing when to get into it. But if you're a trader, it's different. You can sort of rely on the charts on it on their own. You don't need to know that thing. But Immu Pharma, which has released phase three results today, top line phase three results, haven't gone to plan. It's dropped 84%. And so we'll have a look at that. And we covered that a while back, and you said it was due for a little pullback, but I don't think a little pullback that covers the 84% drop, does it?
You said,
you know, news trumps charting all the times, but some people think they can be investors and they can just do it just looking at the chart. You can't. If you're going to be a mid to long-term investor, you've got to know the story, know about the fundamentals, the financials, all of it, and what's coming up, and knowing the risk. But that's also the most important thing I said to anyone. When you start investing, first and foremost, you must know how to manage risk and your exposure to the market, because you can't control the market or the share price. You can control your exposure to it. That's the only thing you can control, is how much money you put into a stock, pretty much. All right, Nicola. Have we got the charts up there? I'm not even on Facebook. I'm not even on here.
Yeah, we've got the charts up. Looking good. Hello, Facebook.
Sorry, I was just on LinkedIn then. So I'm really, really a big fan of LinkedIn. I love it. And I know you're a big fan of LinkedIn.
I hate LinkedIn.
I was just looking.
Honestly, come on. We talk about Facebook scraping our data and using it for, you know, purposes that we might not have wanted. What the heck? Look what people have just given LinkedIn for free.
I know.
Look at the information we've given them about ourselves.
It's very clever, because LinkedIn essentially is a job site now, really, isn't it? You know, and people give all their data there, and they keep telling people, "Oh, you haven't filled in your details." They do that little thing where they keep bugging you if you haven't filled it. If you haven't given them every bit of information about you, or you haven't told us the size of your shoes, you know, the size of your feet. Yeah. They keep punishing you with little notifications. But what happens is
what it's good for as well as jobs. If you're dating, you can look someone up and see if they're good on paper or not. You know.
Oh yes, that's what I was doing. I was don't tell the wife. I was looking at this. When you get you accept a friend, it suggests other people. And this very attractive lady came up that I knew, and I thought, now I know LinkedIn. What you do if you click on someone's profile? It tells them you've been stalking them, and I don't want that. I want to be a secret stalker, you know? So apparently now you can knock that function off. You can just stalk people and not have them know about it, which I'm happy with anyway. But on to stocks, and don't whinge, people, about us just gabbling on at the start, because what happens is someone said, "Oh, you gabbled on for 3 minutes at the start, and then we got stocks." Yeah, we do that on purpose because people get notifications. It takes a couple of minutes to pull their trousers up, you know, get off the toilet, and start watching the computer. So there we are. All right, so now most people have got their trousers up and they're on the computer or towards it. We'll have a look at the stocks. So today, Ascent Resources (AST), very popular stock, have announced. They may be putting up some assets for sale, or doing a strategic sort of, they're moving the chairs around, maybe selling one of the chairs. Who knows? Metaphorically speaking. No, I'm not saying don't say it's a Titanic. No, it's not. No, okay. The share price has been going drifting downwards for a while, and this has given
a spectacular
bounce,
impulsive reversal.
AST. What do you reckon?
And what we really need to see is some follow through. So a couple of things. First of all, in AST, we've bounced from the 886 Fib. That's a big deal. So everybody knows what the 618 is and how important that is. Well,
No, sir. You said you are deep into technical analysis. You said everyone knows that. They don't. Most people have never heard of it.
They know what pi is. Okay, they don't know what pi is. Okay,
I know what pi. What do you mean?
Bats from a really good support level.
I know, hang on. Is that related to the 41.? Is it 41.8? Is pi related to that?
61.8.
That was 61.8, right. Why?
Yes.
I don't understand why that's related. Why is it? Tell me. See, I've been looking at charts for ages, but not Fibonacci's. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
When people talk about Fibonacci ratio and retracements, you know there's a sequence of numbers called the golden, called the Fibonacci numbers.
Golden ratio,
and the golden ratio, and the ratio is the ratio between the numbers in the sequence. And the golden ratio is 1.618. And 618.
Yes. Yeah, 1.618033399.
And so some of the retracement levels we look at are based on that 618. So the 786 is the square root of 618, and the 886 is the square root of 786. And don't ask me why they work, but they do. Okay. Anyway, in other news, this level down here at 0.883 is a bit of a pivot level. It was the lows in 2015. It was the highs in midsummer of 2016. And if we were going to find some support, here's a pretty good place. Now we need to see evidence and confirmation of a follow through. The first thing I want to see is a close above the daily 50 moving average, which is at 1.1, and then I want to see us hold above it. We haven't been able to close above that daily 50 moving average since October of last year, and so a close above that would be a change of behavior. We can look higher from here to 1.49 and then the 200 moving average at 1.6, but I actually think that we return to the highs at 2.6 from last summer.
Okay, well let me just play the devil's advocate. Hello, I'm the devil's advocate. He couldn't come, he's making some toast. Right, so on Fibonacci's, I understand they work when you get a highly traded big stock because the algos are involved, right? But on penny stocks, do they work? What I'm saying is something else better to look at? It's just traditional support levels or moving averages. Why do you think Fibs work on smaller stocks?
There is pretty much, I think that because enough people use them, that they work. And they really do work for that reason, yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
Next one is Feedback, FDBK. There's been a number of little things that happened in Feedback over the last few days. And I do hold some stock here, so do your own research. I'm biased, maybe. But they've made a positive spin. First of all, we've got the new CEO coming in a couple of months back. He's slowly been doing the right thing. He's basically, he's also written a book on turning around a company, and he's done really well at previous companies. But yesterday they announced the appointment of an non-executive director, right? And this guy is called Simon Sturge. He is the COO of Merck. Have you heard of Merck?
Yeah,
it's a massive company. Right. It's a massive. He's this
guy. Merck, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's American and European, but the European arm has like 2.1 billion they spend on research and development. They got a 15 billion turnover. And he's the chief operating officer of their consumer healthcare department. And he's now the non-executive director of Feedback, which is like a 3 million market cap company. And not only that, he also just bought, before he's appointed, 75 grand worth of shares. And I'm thinking, hang on a sec. And obviously, Feedback are in the medical arena, you know? You're thinking, hang on a sec. Why would he buy 75 grand worth of shares?
Do you think it's a bit of insider dealing and he knows Merck's going to do something with them?
We mustn't say that because that's illegal.
I was kidding. Yeah,
I know.
That's
two things now. You can be held up for in court. But it turns out Nicola is the most controversial one on this chat. But I thought I would be.
I'm just telling you what Joe Public is thinking.
No. What I'm thinking is this. I think he looks at the company, he's done his due diligence, loves it, bought some stock, and then has chatted to the guys on the board or whatever that, and the connections in some way, and he's got NED. And he realises that Merck can do something with Feedback software. So I just think, have a read through. I mean, and you could have missed it. It was like one line. By the way, he owns 6 million shares. And I thought, where does that come from? And it turns out he's bought them. So and that Feedback's having a bit of run of it. I think the new CEO is doing a good job. So FDBK, what do you reckon, Nicholas? Not off the lows yet, really, though, is it? We're not out of the woods.
It is off the loose. This is a bit of a different one. This has been in a descending channel since the summer of 2017 and been going up and down through the moving averages, but unable to hold above them. So we really, I've drawn the clearly this descending channel. We really need to break above that. And the level that we need to break above is 1.64. So a close above 1.64 is us clean out of the channel. Then we head to 2.15. And then I think that we should see a powerful move higher from this correction. And that's what I'm looking at. 2.15 says we have absolutely made a bottom.
Okay.
And we're headed to 4.24 next.
Ooh,
and
so
then it's 7.6.
It's up even more now. So I'm looking at it. Of course, if you listen to the podcast, I don't know what price it is. But we're up 20% to 1.545. So it's looking promising. And the volume on this is up. It's about four times.
A close above 1.64, you know, that's us out of this descending channel and on our way. So looking very good for feedback.
Well, I think this is a very interesting appointment.
Haven't you liked this one for a while, feedback?
Yes, I've written blogs on it. Yes, but literally, we've had an ex non-executive director selling his stock, and he held a lot of stock, so that was producing downward pressure on the CEO, and which was annoying because the story hadn't changed, the new CEO, and I quite liked. Anyway, next, ImmuPharm. This is what I talked about earlier on. This is when news breaks technicals, when fundamentals break technicals. Now, ImmuPharm are in phase 3 trials, and the top line results come through. And what you do when you test a new drug like this, you test it against a placebo and also normally the industry standard drug. And it performed well, but it didn't perform well enough in excess of what the placebo did. So you have to perform a lot better than the placebo. And I think their superior response rate over the placebo was 52.5% versus 44.6%. And that's not enough, apparently. So that's why we've dropped 84% today, because phase 3 is the last phase before the chance to go commercial, you know, and get signed off by the regulators, and you can sell it commercially in clinical settings. So this has had a big knock for the IMM shares. But where's the support level, Nicola?
So 84% today, but from the all-time lows, which were at the beginning of 2004, to the all-time highs, which were in December 2017, we have retraced to the 886 Fib, which is that Fibonacci ratio number. It's also the previous lows from November 2015. So there is Fibonacci support here and support and resistance. So potentially, if you were going to throw a dart at a dartboard and pick a level where it might find support if the world ended, this would probably be the level. So I think if we can close above 22.5, we're holding the support level. I think we've got a much better chance if we close above 29, which is that 1.618 extension. And then above 42, we have confirmed a reversal and we are climbing our way back up again. But this, you know, when you see a sharp drop like this, you really are catching a falling piano. And so you need to do it small size initially.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, you are catching a falling piano with an elephant playing it.
Right, and there will be a lot of overhead supply in this stock. You have to look at where people bought before, you know, because people are going to be looking at this and, like, as soon as it bounces, they will want to get out. And so it won't be, well, I think we initially could spike a pretty good distance. I think it'll be difficult to recover slowly, so.
Okay, all right. So, Tala, I haven't read the update. There's a Fall Street update. In Mozambique last week, the Ministry of Land and Environment and Rural Development issued a ruling on the exploitation and export of endangered species of timber under which the exploitation. So they're in that area. So Optala's never owned licenses to extract any of these species in addition. So the share price is down, but it says CEO Optala says we will fully review the potential financial implications of these measures to the group. But there we are. So, I mean, it doesn't seem sound that bad, but they're down anyway, in sentiment-wise, down almost 13%. OBT, what do you reckon, Nicola?
Yeah, But down to some, you know, down to some interesting support and resistance levels. If we look back to 2016, to April, to June, and to the summer, July, this area around 9.4 was really good support. 9.25 is my Fib level support. And if I look at an RSI, we've got some bullish divergence. So I think if we can hold 9.25, we may stabilize and stop going down here. May. And then the resistance at the top of the range is 12.75. So potentially if we stabilize here, we could retest 12.75. If we got back above 12.75, I would say that we've made a bottom. Otherwise, I think we might do some consolidation sideways here. The daily moving averages, you know, the 20 and the 50 daily moving averages are all kind of sideways. That says range trade for a bit until we find our feet again.
Okay, no, it says here that they are involved to a certain, to a lesser degree. Apparently, it's the export of Chanfuta, Imbila, and Jambira will not be allowed. And they said that the exports of these species make up less than 5% of total group sales in Q1 2018. So they are slightly affected. All right, last one is Powerhouse Energy. And they announced some news today. I haven't checked how much. If they're up or down at the moment, let me just say PHE, but have a look at the chart, Nick. They've signed a deal.
Do you know, this is another one. If we take a look on the weekly, so we've made a, there's a really good base. Every time we dip down on the weekly to around 0.4, we rally, and we're rallying again. But we've got resistance at the weekly 20 moving average. If we check the daily, we've got resistance, you know, from the prior highs, like a pivot level at 0.6. If we can close above 0.6, which is what we couldn't do yesterday, then I think that there's a good chance we rally from here. We gapped up above the level, but we've dropped back a little below it again. So 0.6 for me would be the key to turning this around for now.
Cool. Well, they've announced, first international distribution agreement for its proprietary DMG hydrogen from waste process targeting supply into hydrogen bus projects in Bulgaria and Romania. So it's good news then, there's a distribution agreement there for their distributed modular gasification technology. Marvellous, Nicola, that's okay. Brilliant. And that's it for the day. By the way, if you want to see this video, then you can see it, by the way, if you listen on the podcast, it is, by the way. At the blog, which is voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Lovely. Nicola, your expression of the word blog just improves every day.
I'm working on it. Bye, everyone.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.